Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
We just got invaded in the studio by Erica Rhodes, comedian, who will be at Helium Comedy Club. You're like a half an hour early, which is awesome, because nobody is ever on time, but I'm putting you right on.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. We were just starting to talk when we got interrupted. You say you're from Boston?
I'm from Boston, yeah.
But you live in L.A.
I live in L.A.
Do you still have to live in L.A. in today's like entertainment world?
I don't know. It's a little debatable with comedy.
Yeah.
You can kind of live in New York, too.
Why'd you pick L.A.?
Well, when I moved to L.A., I was doing acting.
Oh.
So that would, yeah, make sense.
How was that going?
Well, I switched to comedy. That says it all.
That's it right there.
I have this voice. This voice is not that conducive to acting. It's kind of like, you know.
You're at Helium tonight at 8 o'clock, 7:30 and 10 tomorrow night, 7:30 and 10 on Saturday, heliumcomedy.com to get tickets. Tell me about, like, why, I'm always curious how you get, like, decide this is what you wanted to do. Like, at what age were you performing, or did somebody say you're funny, or was it a talent show, or what was it?
I just started in radio. I started on this radio show called A Prairie Home Companion, and I did that when I was 10 years old, and so I've been doing that my whole life.
That's weird that you were 10 years old and already, like, that's savant, that's like Doogie Howser. You know,
I think I was better back then. You know, I think I was really good when I was 10. My whole life, I'm just trying to get back to how good I was when I was 10 years old. You know,
it's awesome. But you had to have an environment. You must have had parents who were funny people who encouraged that.
Yeah, my mom's a violinist, and my dad used to play clarinet, and they're pretty funny. My mom's funny by accident. My dad's funny on purpose.
That's so funny. Yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah. How about family? What's the family dynamic? Brothers, sisters?
I have an older sister. She's pretty normal.
What's she do?
She's a teacher and a mom.
See?
Yeah.
She must be really proud of you, though, and she must tell, like, her class, hey, my
sister's
in comedy.
She is. Actually, the first time that people thought I was funny was when I gave a wedding speech at her wedding, and I thought I was giving this very genuine, sweet, you know, speech. And it got so many laughs. And I was like, wait, this wasn't supposed to be funny. Yeah. I thought I was being like really nice and sweet. And everyone after that was like, you should do comedy. You're hilarious.
Did people have you do their toasts after that? Did everybody want you at their weddings?
No, I didn't get hired after that. But great. Now I feel like a real failure.
Erica Rhodes. That's why you come to the show. We keep you grounded.
Yeah,
Erica Rhodes is with us. She'll be at Helium Comedy Club tonight, 8 o'clock. Tomorrow night, 7:30 and 10. Saturday night, 7:30 and 10. That's a lot of shows. How do you keep... I do 3 hours, and I have to hydrate.
Whoa.
I have to come in, like, energized. How do you do all those shows and not lose momentum?
Well, ask me after, you know? I'm a coffee addict. I drink a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do a lot of drugs. No, just kidding. I don't do drugs. Just coffee.
You're from Boston, but you're not a sports fan.
Well, I'm not. I'm a sports fan to the point of I like to win.
Yeah.
I like the sports games. I like the sports teams that are winning, like the Patriots.
So you're a front runner.
What's that mean?
That's what you just said. You're on the bandwagon.
When I hear that Boston won, I go, yeah, I'm a Boston fan. Yeah, go Red Sox.
Boston's
go
had
Patriots.
A good run.
Yeah, we're pretty good at stuff.
It's been a good run. And then you bailed and went to L.A. How much of your act is stuff talking about kind of your childhood background? How much of it is just kind of current events? What do you do?
I don't do topical, really. I kind of avoid that. Yeah. I think there are people out there who do it better than I do. But, I do mostly personal life stuff. You know, I talk about being in my 30s, being single in my 30s and trying to find love like everybody else.
Is that harder now, you think, than it used to be?
I think it's easier, probably. I mean, more acceptable. I think, like, I think, like, 20 or, like, 50 years ago, if you were in your 30s and not married or anything, I think people were like, what? What's wrong with you?
But I always tell the millennials, like, we have Alabama Adriana down there, and I talk to her. I say, it's probably so hard for people to date because you have Instagram, Twitter. You can look into their life. You already can almost dismiss them.
Yeah, I think that I really think that online dating is like really weird. And yeah, you know too much too soon. And you're just like, next, next, next. No, right. Thank you. No, thank you. You know, and yeah, I for sure think it's kind of a problem.
We're talking to Erica Rhodes about everything that's wrong in the world right now.
It's hilarious.
Helium Comedy. Buy tickets at heliumcomedy.com. 8 o'clock tonight, 7:30 and 10 tomorrow night, 7:30 and 10 on Saturday night. So at age 10, you've been in several movies. Thousand Ways to Die.
Oh no! Don't talk about any of those. Don't. No. 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 Those are all just random weird credits.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're working. You got to be proud. You should celebrate every moment.
No, I've done some TV. I did Modern Family and Veep and At Midnight and yeah.
What's that like to be on a set like Modern Family and do a?
That was fun. That was really. It was. You're in and out because they're experts. They just you know you just get in and get out.
Is there, when you're in a setting like that, is there a temptation to overact and try to, or do you have to kind of restrain yourself? Like, I would think you would run, like, they're watching, this is my time, I want to really...
Yeah, that is a problem, like, especially if it's like a small, I think that smaller parts are sort of harder in that way, where you're just like, you just have to say the lines and leave, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're not looking for you to steal that scene.
Right, yeah. You just say your few lines. I kind of get cast in kind of upbeat characters, though, that, like, it's okay if it has a little more energy, I think. Yeah.
What's your process like when you find something funny? Like, you know, let's just say coming here in the elevator or whatever, you notice something that you think you can work with. Do you text yourself or email yourself that or take a note on your phone or do you write something down?
Yeah, I write a note down and then I revisit it later and try to work it out on stage.
You are when you're working through it. Are you what's your process there? Are you sitting somewhere or is it just you're on a plane or is it just a
random?
I could
be anywhere. Yeah, I could be anywhere, and I write it out somewhere so that I have it because I'll forget. I'll think I'll remember it, and then I forget. So yeah, I write down a note. I'll jot down a note that reminds me of what it is, and then I'll work it out on stage and see if it works. You know, for other people, not just myself.
There'll be runs on this show where I think we have a good half hour and then there's other times where I feel like we're just slogging through a half hour. Do you get that way in comedy where you feel like you get all of a sudden something clicks, everything's lining up, the audiences are great? Do you have those runs?
Yeah, a lot of comics kind of compare it to like surfing, you know, like you get on the wave and then you just feel like you're just like gliding on the wave. You know, you catch the wave of laughter and then it's so easy. But if you don't catch it, it's like you're just like, you're really trying to get on it.
Just paddling out there all
day.
Yeah,
you're kind of pushing and like, you know, really trying to get the laughs. And it feels like work. Sometimes I'm on stage and it feels like work. And sometimes I feel like I'm on stage and I'm just like, I'm just at peace with everything.
I had somebody else say that when you're doing live performance, either theater or comedy or whatever that live thing is, that you either leave at the end of the day going, I'm going to do this forever. This is the greatest thing ever. Or I don't know how much longer I can do this.
Yes. Yeah. One good show can keep you going for a while, you know, but then they say you're only as good as your last show.
Yeah.
And so you feel like you're constantly proving yourself over and over, which is probably actually similar to sports.
Yeah.
You know, like sports, it's like you're only as good as your last game, you know?
That works.
Yeah, it's just...
That works.
You're like, sure. Yeah.
No, well, anytime you try to connect... Because here's the thing, when we were booking you to come on, the response I got is it okay that she's not a sports fan? And I was like, yeah, that's even better. Because
because then she'll make really bad analogies and try to compare comedy to sports, and it'll fail miserably.
More like your dad, like funny without trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking to Erica Rhodes, who was supposed to be here at like 2:15. She's way early. Are you an early person on purpose?
We just got the time wrong.
Got it messed up?
Yeah.
Got it backwards. That's okay.
Or just accidentally.
No, but that's fine. We'll take you whenever you show up. When Nick shows up, we just stop the show.
Yeah, as you should. Nick's a good guy.
What's the difference between a good audience and a bad audience in comedy? And do you prefer to come in after like the opening act has killed it? Or do you want them to just be... decently okay setting the stage for you?
Sometimes I like when they kill it because that's like starting, then the audience is warmed up and they're ready to go, and then you can just like, you know, catch the wave of what they just did.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to kind of win them back and like get them going. You know, you want them to be going and want them to be excited to be there right away.
What do people recognize you from? What's that thing where when you're in the airport, they go, hey, you're from...
Nobody recognizes me. They'll be like, you look like my cousin Jessica.
That's it.
I'm not famous yet. That's why I'm here. I need to get famous.
But when you said a Prairie Home Companion, Peter over there was going, yes.
Like, I didn't even know there was a person behind me.
Like, he had recognition
of... Well, some people... Well, look at him. He's wearing a Radio Yours shirt. He's wearing a radio shirt.
He just stays in there all day.
So the people either love Prairie Home Companion, they know it, they're huge fans, or they're like, huh, Prairie what?
Yeah.
It's one or the other.
No confusion with Little House on the Prairie.
No.
That's different. All right.
But it's a, you know, it's a radio show for 40 years, one of the biggest NPR radio shows, and so people...
He knows
they
the
don't
world.
I don't know if they recognize me from it, but they might... They might recognize my voice.
Do you get voice work? Because I think you said you have a bad voice. I think you have a very memorable voice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's good for comedy, but I don't get any...
You should.
Thank
you. Need a new agent. That's what you need. Let's fire your agent. That's why you're here.
My agent got me this.
Yeah, get rid of the agent. Erica Rhodes is here. Have you been to Portland before? Is this first visit?
Yes. I'm doing my album here. That's why I'm here. So I came here... like 6 months ago, I think.
You liked
it. A little longer. I loved it.
You gonna move here?
No.
Lot of single people in this city.
Good. Maybe I'll meet someone.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This could be it. Could ruin your comedy career by getting you a date.
Yeah, love really messes with your comedy. You don't wanna do that.
Is it hard to be in a relationship while you're traveling around and you're in this business?
Yeah, a little bit. I tried dating a comic. That was kind of hard because our schedules are so crazy, both of us. Yeah.
Competition too?
A little competitive. Yeah, for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Go see Erica Rhodes tonight, 8 o'clock. Tomorrow night, 7:30 and 10. Saturday night, 7:30 and 10. And she's single. Is that good? Is that good promotion?
Yeah, this is a dating show, right? This is a...
We did that one time.
Yeah?
We hooked somebody up that got engaged.
What?
We sent... there was a similar to you, a woman in her 30s who was complaining about there are no men out there. And we got 5 male listeners, and we sent her on 5 dates in a row, 5 nights in a row.
What?
And after the Wednesday night date, she said, I'm done. This is the guy. They got engaged. Boom.
That's crazy.
So that could happen here.
Well, maybe you should do that for me.
We can do that.
All right.
We'll do that. Let's get you back on and we'll do it.
Okay.
5 days. You have to stay here 5 days, though. Can we do 3 dates and 3 nights?
Yeah, just get a good one.
Just get
at least one real winner.
One winner.
You know? Yeah.
Is there one winner out there?
One winner.
Erica, thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, leave it right here. We're going to talk about Justin Herbert. Is he any damn good or not? So I got in a little debate with a friend of mine about Justin Herbert. My friend says, gosh, I'm so disappointed with Justin Herbert's career at Oregon to this point. And I felt like I went a little bit apologist on the Justin Herbert front by saying, you know, look, he was playing for a Mark Helfrich team in his first season. He's been through... the transition of Helfrich to Taggart to Cristobal, like, you know, this guy's been injured. But we ultimately came to the point where I said, all right, let's let the listeners kick this around. Has Justin Herbert's time in Oregon been a disappointment? What does he need to do next season to make it a success? You tell me. As quarterbacks go, and look, Charles Barkley said it yesterday. He said, it's not fair, but here's the reality. When you are the star player on the team, you get too much of the blame and too much of the credit. I can't blame Justin Herbert for Oregon's defense. I can't blame him for playing for multiple head coaches. But has his career to this point been a disappointment? And the more I look at the numbers, they kind of support that, you know, has he underachieved? I want to kick this around. You tell me at 503-417-7575. Let's go to Todd, who's in Portland. He's going to lead us off. Todd, what do you think?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Okay, great. You know, stability is a big thing with Herbert at Oregon. Had 3 coaches in 3 years. You know, he's had, look at John Elway, for instance. He didn't have good teams at Stanford, but he had a cannon of an arm. He's been compared to Elway. Drops kill him. He was young when he started. He got hurt there his junior year. The recruiting around him was porous when he first started. Now the reserves are coming. He's ready to blow up. I'd like to take your thoughts. Thanks.
Yeah, you know, look, I appreciate that because it leaves the conversation unfinished. And I think it is unfinished when it comes to Herbert. Consider his freshman year. They threw him into the fire. He played in 8 games that season, but they threw him into the fire as Mark Helfrich's job was on the line, and everybody was going, Helfrich's got to do something to save this season. And he had a really encouraging run. 19 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, quarterback rating of 148. And everybody kind of said, gosh, if they have gone to Herbert sooner, maybe Helfrich would have kept his job. So he gets Willie Taggart in his sophomore season. Again, plays only 8 games. Completes a higher percentage of his passes than he did the year before. Throws for about the same yards, 1,900 yards. And 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, quarterback rating of 167.5. It sets up what should have been a lights-out third season junior year. He played in 13 games last season. Completed only 59% of his passes, by far his lowest and most inefficient season. But he did throw for 3,151 yards, 29 touchdowns against 8 interceptions. My problem with Herbert's time has been rooted in the disruption of coaching, and it's been rooted in the fact that I don't think they've won at the level that I would expect a talent like Herbert to win at. Does it speak to his leadership? Maybe. I guess you could make that argument. But I want to know what argument you're making when it comes to Herbert. 503-417-7575. Pat's in Northeast Portland. Pat, what do you got?
Hey, John. Hey, John, I see it a different way than most people. I'm a big Oregon fan. I'm not going to lie about that. But Justin is not flashy, you know, like Dixon or some of these other guys. He's a pro-style quarterback, and I think he's one of the very rare players that are in college. I think DeBlount was another one that is better in the pros than he is in college. And if you just look at the measurables this guy's got, his brain power, his size, his arm, he's the best. I really think he might be the best recruit for the pros since Andrew Luck. And I don't think it's going to matter a bit, you know, what happened in college, because all they care about is how good you're going to be in the pros. And has he been disappointed a little bit because he's just not flashy like some of these other guys, you know, Masoli or whatever.
That might be true, but Marcus Mariota wasn't flashy either, except maybe when he was running with the football. That's when you kind of went, wow, like, you know, he can move. Here's the thing. On Twitter, Scott says, look, if Oregon fans are honest with themselves, they would say Herbert has been disappointing. Rich comes back and says Herbert's not disappointing at all. He's 100% next-level quarterback. His only issue is that Oregon hasn't developed a receiver. Bryce says, has Herbert's career been that bad, or have Oregon fans wanted him to be so much like Marcus that we made it seem like he hasn't been successful? I think it's a great point. Like, is that comparison an unfair comparison for Justin Herbert? Like, is that a battle he just can't win, and it isn't his fault? 503-417-7575. We can't help but compare, though. We compare Michael Jordan to LeBron. We compare Antonio Brown to Odell Beckham Jr. We compare apples to oranges, even though we say it's an apples to oranges comparison. We do it. We say, well, an orange is this and an apple is that. We do it all the time. Comparisons are what sports conversation is built on. It's what our society really is built on. We compare companies. We compare cars before we buy them. We compare neighborhoods. We compare the schools before we buy a house in a neighborhood. We compare our kids, whether we will admit it to them or not, secretly. You turn to your spouse, don't you? And you go, well, this one's a lot more creative than that one, but that one's, she's going to be the better student. We do those comparisons all the time. Is it unfair to compare Justin Herbert and Marcus Mariota? Maybe, but people are going to do it. Bill is in Salem and is called in. Bill, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to say that I don't think Justin Herbert's really been put in a position where he can utilize his talents. I think it comes down to some coaching, and I think that they need to consider how to use him a little better than that. That's just all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Yeah, I kind of felt like they wasted him last year. I felt like Marcus Arroyo just did not take advantage. There were just a couple of little flashes. They had a little play in the goal line set that Herbert... it was a really nice little schematic play that Marcus Arroyo drew up for Herbert, and that, you know, against UCLA, kind of all the action was going right. Herbert kind of rolled right, stopped, threw back left, and they got a touchdown out of it in the goal line. I can't remember much else about the play, but I remember thinking to myself, wow, that was memorable. And why was it memorable? It was memorable because they hadn't put him in that position very often. I can think of maybe one or two times last season where I felt like the defense was just completely fooled. And forgive me, in the Chip Kelly era, I felt like the defense was fooled like every 5 minutes, wasn't it? I think that was that's been a big difference in this Oregon football, like life after Chip Kelly and Marcus Mariota and life before. Justin Herbert, they need to get more out of him. They cannot afford to waste him for another season. That much is clear, and I hope Oregon is paying attention. Rob Mullins, the athletic director at Oregon, is next. I got a lot of questions for Rob. We'll bring him on. I appreciate that he comes on. Tomorrow's show, Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner. So we got the big wigs on the show today and the show tomorrow. All right, you got the bald-faced truth statewide. If you know a Duck fan, shoot him a text. Tell him to get himself over to this radio program because Rob Mullins, the AD at Oregon, is coming on next. You got the bald-faced truth statewide on the BFT radio network.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Faced Truth.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.